Now, as we begin to prepare for this message, I need some audience participation. Now, don't get nervous. That doesn't mean I'm going to pull you out and do some demonstration and embarrass you. But I need you to remember something that Pastor Trina said last week, and that is, you ain't going nowhere if you're not done. So don't worry, because I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Ain't nobody going to come in here and, you know, take us out, because it ain't time. All right? Guess what? I know I'm not done, and I have a little bit of prophetic ability, and so I know you're not done. Amen. So I can tell you that. Ain't nobody going to come in here and take you out so you can relax. Come on. I need you to close your eyes. Everybody, closing your eyes. And I just want you to relax. This is not a hypnosis session, I promise. But I want you to be as relaxed and as suggestive as you would be in a hypnosis session, open to suggestion, that is. All your eyes closed and relaxing. And as you're doing that, what I want you to do, as the meditation experts suggest, I want you to notice your breathing. Notice your breaths, one at a time. I want you to notice them. Continue to relax and notice your breathing. Notice each breath. Now, as you do that, one of the things that will happen to you as you just relax and notice your breathing, you're actually going to begin to realize that there's actually a little bit of effort required to breathe. That is effort that God spares us 24 hours a day. I want you to imagine that effort, if you had to make that effort all the time. If you do this long enough, you'll notice that involuntarily, you'll have to sigh. You'll take a deep breath in and out. It will feel more relaxing than almost anything that you do. And even while you're thinking of your breathing and you're conscious of it like you aren't usually conscious of it, and you realize the effort actually that can be associated with it, the sigh will be involuntary and completely relaxing. So continuing to notice your breathing, appreciating the fact that when you have to be conscious of your breathing, you notice the effort that's required. Now, as you are continuing to relax and breathe, I want you to now notice your heartbeat. I'm sure that in a quiet room like this, you now can notice your heartbeat where you haven't thought about your heartbeat since who knows when. Pay attention to your heartbeat, because this is another one of those things that God allows us. He's a gift that he gives us without any effort on our parts. When we are born, it's the first time we've actually breathed with our lungs. Before that, the respiration process actually goes through the blood and the placenta. That's how the baby gets its oxygen and lets off the CO2. But when you're born, you actually breathe for the first time. But your heartbeat has been going on way before that. So I want you to notice your heartbeat, because you're noticing a gift that God gives you for free. And free of thought and free of encumberment and free of the burden of your active management. You don't have to work on your heart beating. You don't have to work on your breathing. And so I want you to know, I want you to keep in mind this heartbeat, which has been going on since early on, way before you were born. And I want you to keep in mind, I want you to file away that feeling of effort that's required for you to breathe when you are conscious and paying attention to your breathing. And I want you to notice and be conscious of the gift that God has been giving you when you're not even noticing it. You can open up your eyes as you store that thought away. Now, this message is not about meditation. It's not about physiology. It's not about anatomy. It's actually about praise. The praise that our God deserves. The praise that For God's Glory Ministries is expected to provide. The praise, the kind of praise that each one of us owes to God. Amen. The praise that the big G God smiles at. Amen?
Amen.
We're not any ordinary church. We were not created to be ordinary, and our praise shouldn't be ordinary. Hillsong is a great ministry, and they really get down with some praise, do they not? They ought to. They have song in their name. But our ministry is for God's glory. We're supposed to worship him the way you see the in the heavenly host worshiping him when you go to the book of Revelation. That's what we're supposed to do. And I think we're doing a pretty good job with so few people. Hallelujah. So this is, because I believe we are on post and on point in this regard, this is a reminder, this is a reinforcement. Somebody say reinforcement.
Reinforcement.
Reinforcement to give you 1 million reasons to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory that he deserves. Hallelujah. Every time. Say every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
You come into his presence. With his people. Not just when you feel good, not just when you got a raise, not just when you got a promotion, not just when things are going well, but every time.
Amen.
Anytime somebody's out there in that foyer, in that lobby, they should either want to come in and find out what's going on or want to put us out.
Amen.
One of the two.
Amen.
One of the two. Otherwise, we're just being ordinary. We're not here to be ordinary.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're not here to be ordinary. We're not here to be ordinary. I'm trying to tell those folks of Kaiser Permanente, if you don't want to be all that you're supposed to be, I'm not your leader. But if you're willing to make a real difference, to have a real career where you matter and the patients matter and the business matters, then let's rock. Let's do this. But only if you're really into it. I'm going to believe in you because there ain't nobody but you that can do this. I'm going to believe in us because there ain't nobody here to do it but us. But only if you're swinging for the fences. I didn't get into this game to hit singles. And so, for God's glory, we love the Hillsong, but Hillsong shouldn't have anything on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. We want the heavenly host to say, man, we better step up our game. Man, look at those. We want God to say, hey, y'all, I know you guys got it rocking, but look at, you know how God said about Job, check out my servant Job. Check him out. And of course, Satan said, well, yeah, that's just because you give him all that stuff. Well, we want him to say the same thing about our praise. Well, that's just because you gave them a raise. Ah, that's just because you healed their body. Guess what? Yes, and. Yes, and. We want to praise him for what he's done, but also for who he is. So if you don't think he's done anything for you, then you got the who he is. But guess what? You got a million reasons.
Amen.
Every time you come through that door.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's go to our text. Where's it going to be at?
Psalms.
Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Trina asked me last night, where is the message going to be out of Psalms? I didn't answer. She didn't ask me twice. The answer is yes. Psalm 150. Psalm 150. Last week, Pastor Trina told us that God keeps his promises. She also said that the book of Psalms is a book of what?
Praise.
Now, not every psalm sounds like a praise. Sometimes David's saying, did you forget me, Lord? Help me, Lord. My enemies, psalms about all kinds of stuff. But if you go through the book of Psalms, the last section, the last many, many psalms are all about praise all the time. Nothing but praise. Written by David, of course. Amen?
Amen.
And so here we see, I think, I can't tell you until next week because God is in control. It looks like we're wrapping up Psalms. And so while David was the master praiser, this is the last Psalm. So this is where David's going to drop the mic. Amen? Tell somebody he's going to give us 1 million reasons. 1 million reasons. Now, if I gave you $1 million, then I'd be giving you a reason to give God how much money? Do the math, 100,000. Matter of fact, 101,000. Hallelujah. There you go. Amen. You guys are good math majors here. So we're going to finish the book of Psalms. Hey, well, you rocked some numbers last week. Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. So we're going to go through this particular psalm, and I don't think it will take us long. But what are we talking about today? We're talking about praise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're talking about 1 million reasons to praise our God. Amen. Let's look at verse 1. Read it with me. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. So what are we learning here? We're learning, first of all, that we ought to do what?
Praise
the Lord. I'll tell you something real interesting. I don't want to get too distracted here, but if you look at this in the Hebrew, this is one of the places where it says praise Yah, just Y-A-H, not Yahweh. Did you know that there's a short version, a nickname, if you will, for the big G God? It's called Yah. And I was just cruising around a little bit about this Yah thing. I said, I didn't even know that. I was like, that's kind of great when I learned something new. And so I looked up Yah, and you know who it took me to? Kendrick Lamar. You know that boy, he's a rapper, right? Who knows who that is? Kendrick Lamar, raise your hand, don't you? Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar. Now, I don't know the dude, but here's the thing. As soon as I clicked on it, looked at his name, it had parental advisory or something like that. In other words, so I know what's probably coming. The song Yah, he has a song called Yah. And in it, he says, I'm a Hebrew, don't call me black no more. That's old time. That's just the color. I'm Hebrew. He went there. But if you pay attention, it's a play on the word Yah. Because Yah is short for God. Like Celis. Like Quisha. Like Carrie. God's nickname is Yah. And that's the word that's used here in the Hebrew. It's not Yahweh. It's Y-A-H. So go look it up. Kendrick Lamar, Yah. Then I saw this white guy. I don't know who, I forget her name now, but she did an amazing job of covering that song. See what I do in my spare time? So what we've learned here is we've learned that we should be praising Yah. And we've learned where we should praise him. praise him in the sanctuary, the place where he's sanctified, the place where he's set aside, the one local place specifically in his sanctuary where the presence of God with the Shekinah glory resided. But also praise him in the firmament, praise him in the expanses of the sky. What is he saying? He's using a contrast here to say, praise him everywhere. Praise him wherever you are, but you better show enough praise him in the sanctuary. So this is what we've learned so far, that we ought to praise Yah, and where we could be praising Yah. Verse 2, let's read it. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to. All right, so now not only do we know that we should praise him and where we might praise him or ought to praise him, but now we know why we should praise him. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for what he's done and who he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because our God is great and he is greatly to be praised, which means our God is great and he is to be praised greatly. Not no half-stepping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we know that we should praise him. We know where to praise him. We know why we should praise him. And now we can go into the how. Hallelujah. Amen. How should we praise him? Let's look at verses 3 through 5. You read them for me.
Praise him with the sound of the trumpet.
Yes.
Praise him with psaltery and harp.
Yes.
Praise him with the timbrel and dance.
Mm-hmm.
Praise him with string instruments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals.
Mm. Nope, that's right. We want to stop right there. Hallelujah. When you read verses 3 through 5, when you're learning about how to praise him, because we know we should praise him, and we know where, right? And we know the why, but how should you praise him? We can get distracted because we might not recognize these instruments, but if you pay close attention, you'll notice from 3 to 5, there is a buildup to a crescendo of praise. The further you go from 3 to 5, the idea of the praise gets more and more intense and louder. And louder. He ain't asking for no dignified praise. In heaven, there is no dignified praise. Now, I know some of us are made differently. Some of us clap like this. Some of us clap like this. Some of us praise like this, and some of us praise like this. Ain't none of this or this in heaven. Ain't none of that. I'm just trying to tell you, and I know that you're able to, because every single one of us are passionate about something, and so every single one of us have shown the emotion. Every single one of us has used our body parts to jump up, to raise our hand, to scream out with our voices because something happened good. And I'm just trying to tell you, if you're trying to be too dignified, you got 1 million reasons. 1 million reasons to get out of that dignified mode. 1 million reasons to stop holding back. As you read these three verses, you'll notice there is no restraint. He didn't just say use the instruments. He also said dance. And we already know that there's some clapping involved in praise, do we not? We're talking about praise. We're talking about being on post and on point. We're talking about the praise that God wants from us, deserves from us, and will get from us. Because it's not just Pastor Trina that's holding things up. We got to be what we're supposed to be. We needed to shed some things. That was part of it. We need to shed some things and get it all the way down, like Gideon's army, down to the bare bones. Bottom line is this. Those that are supposed to be involved in this ministry do not need to be forced to praise. We're talking about getting down with the get down. We're talking about people who can't wait. They come with expectation. Like it's the seventh game of the basketball series. Let me just tell you, I've been there in person. It is electric. It's nothing like what's on TV in person. The place is buzzing, buzzing. And when the game, before the game, you're talking about the game, not something else. And after the game, you don't switch immediately to talking about the weather and talking about cutting your grass and talking about work. You walk out of there all the way to the car talking about the game. But when it comes to church, we quickly, bam, soon as the prayer is over, immediately we go to something else. We haven't been moved. We haven't really been in the presence of God. You don't get in the presence of God and switch immediately to some other subject. We're talking about praise like it's supposed to be. Time is up for all the half stepping. This is not a beat you up. This is a hallelujah. I'm so happy it's here. At least I am. I want you to understand what he's saying. He wants to enjoy. He's living in anticipation of hearing that from us. And we're getting really close. Really close. But I just want to give you 1 million reasons to give him all you got, because he deserves it and he wants it every time. Every time. We're talking about praise. So when you look at 3 through 5, oh, it just starts to build. Don't hold back. Don't hold back with your voice. Don't hold back with your hands. When he gets to that last, in verse 5, and he talk about, he mentioned cymbals before, but now he's talking about the loud ones. The loud ones. If you see my sister-in-law play the tambourine, she plays the tambourine like Jesus is listening. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus is living. She don't hold back. She's a passionate, fiery woman. Hallelujah. If I could see her do her singing and with her choir, I can imagine that too. I bet she gets down with it. No half-stepping. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No holding back. We should be grateful that we get to praise. I was at the nursing home yesterday, and there was this man, I don't even know his name, and he was clapping for the message, but he couldn't move his left arm. It didn't stop him from clapping. I guarantee you, if he could move that other hand, he'd outclap most of us. He was grateful. He was moved. Are we moved? Do we give all that we have, and then are we getting all that we should from being in the presence of God with God's people? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that brings us to verse 6. Let's look at that. You've heard this verse before, but you did not know the context. You may not have even known where it came from. I know that TBN has utilized this verse quite a bit, but now you know its context. The context is, you are being told that you should praise God. You're being told where you should praise God, right? You're being told why you should praise God and how you should praise God. And it is suggesting a crazy praise, not a dignified praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It is suggesting an environment where a Holy Ghost party is better than any party. Hallelujah. And ain't no party like it, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. And it's on and popping from the beginning, not in the end. It starts out high, it just gets higher. So we look at verse 6. And this is ultimately the verse that I want you to keep in your mind as you leave here. Let's read it together. Hallelujah. Yes, let everything that hath breath, let everything that is breathing. I'm telling you, you ought to praise God. I'm telling you where to praise God. I'm telling you why to praise God. I'm telling you how to praise God. Now I'm trying to tell you, let everything, if you're breathing, are you breathing?
Amen.
Are you breathing?
Amen.
Are you breathing every time you walk through those doors?
Amen.
Are you still breathing when you leave?
Yes.
What should happen in between? Let everything that has breath. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we learned this morning through our exercise, he gives you those breaths for free. Not just free of charge, free of concern. You get breast all day long. You've been breathing since you were born. He had a way of helping you breathe without lungs even before you were born. And your heartbeat, another such function, has been going on from since way before you were born. I got some numbers for you. Pastor Trina inspired me. Nah, we just in sync. I want you to know that God gives us more than 6 million of these free, worry-free breaths every year. More than 6 million breaths that you don't have to feel what you felt. The most extreme would be a crucifixion where it's really hard. Everything is working against you to breathe. You just got to feel just a little pinch of it. Once you become conscious of your breathing and realize, man, this requires some effort. You get blessed. God fixes our brains so all that happens without you trying. It allows you to sleep without having to worry. More than 6 million of those free breaths every year. Now, personally, in my own life, let me just tell you, with my age, I've gotten more than 21 billion of those little gifts. 21 billion of those things that we just made ourselves. Imagine if I had to be conscious of that. Imagine if I had to work at that more than 21 billion times in my life. Are you getting the idea? Now, over the same course of time that he's given me that 21 billion breaths, you know how many heartbeats he's given me? More than 130 billion. More than 130 billion times my heart has beat without me having to worry about it. Same thing for you if you're the same age as me. And that's at least, it could be more. That's based on the typical heart rate. Same thing with the breath. So I'm telling you, when I say more at least, I'm talking about at least. If you're older than me, he's giving you more than that. How about that? You've got even more of those blessings. Amen?
Amen.
All of that. He's given me more than 21 billion breaths, more than 130 billion heartbeats, purely out of love. For free. As Pastor Trina would say, F-R-E-E gratis. You haven't had to worry about it. He gives you that for free. That's before you add on the raise, the roof over your head, the clothes on your back, the job to actually feed yourself, relationships. This is before any of those things that we can praise God for. He gives you 1 million reasons. Because between this Sunday and next Sunday, the breaths he's going to give you for free and the heartbeats that he's going to give you for free add up to just about 1 million. 1 million events that he gave you an automatic nervous system to allow your body to function, and you don't have to worry about it. 1 million reasons. Amen?
Amen?
So every time we darken this threshold with our bodies and get together with God's people in his name, we start out. If you're in the casino and you get to start out, you know how you go there, they want you to go there and spend all your money, so they give you credit. You start out with their money. You start out with house money. You walk in the door with at least 1 million reasons. At least. By the time you get back the following week. Amen. 1 million reasons to give God what he wants. 1 million reasons to give God what he deserves. I told you I'd make good time.
Amen.
Hallelujah, and I did. So I want you to remember that. When we show up here, no matter how we feel, we got 1 million reasons. At least, by the way, at least 1 million reasons. If we think back on all the years he's given us, we've got billions of reasons to give God the glory that he deserves. So when you're tired, I want you to be thinking 1 million reasons. If you see somebody that look a little forlorn and they don't think they're into it, just remind them, say 1 million reasons. 1 million reasons. 1 million reasons. And if you haven't seen it for 2 or 3 weeks, you got 2 or 3 million reasons to give God what he deserves. This is for God's glory.